Lord, and I'd like to share a few scriptures that were a blessing to me and hope they will be a blessing to all of us this morning. I'd like to write my thought on the board. Believe that this morning? Exceeding abundant grace. I want to start in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And the first verse, he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, I've been picking up this from Paul's writings. He talks about abounding more and more. And then chapter 3, right above it, verse 12, it says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, I believe that to the end is for the purpose. He wants us to abound more and more for the purpose that we would be established and grounded unto the coming of the Lord, that we would be in a place of increase in our hearts and lives. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the, let's see, let me get the right book here. Maybe we'll have the right verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, it said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. So I was thinking about these words of abound, increasing, having plenty that we might abound. He said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So God wants us to abound in His grace. And I think sometimes if we're just barely getting by, if we're just barely keeping our head above water spiritually, we want to be encouraged, and I know sometimes we feel that way, that we're maybe struggling, and that's okay. We're still in the battle if we're struggling, but these scriptures are very encouraging to me today, that God is able to make all grace abound toward us. That it's not just a little bitty sliver of stream that's about to dry up, but it's more like a... And we have that vision of Ezekiel, the river, you know, where he went out to the ankles and he measured and said, go out a little further. And he walked out further and further, and then finally he said, it's a mighty river that can't be passed over. Well, I believe that represents salvation, the grace of God that can live in our lives. And we want to have that abounding in us so that there's an overflow, so it overflows on other people. See, if we're just barely getting by ourselves, there's not going to be much left over for other people. But if we can abound with the grace of God in our lives, with His hope, with His courage, with His love, and toward, and he mentioned, Paul talked about abounding in love toward one another and toward all men. And I believe that means that we don't have to just barely get by, but we can have a heart full of love towards our fellow man. And God can abound in us His grace. Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, 1 Timothy, the first chapter and the 14th verse. He mentioned about who he was before, a persecutor and blasphemer, but he said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now he said here, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love. You know, faith and love can come through the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Lord working in our hearts and our lives. If we can tap in and find the place of grace, God can bless our lives, and we can find abundant grace to help us to be victorious over all the power of darkness and the enemy. And when I think of grace, I mean, it's an all, to me, it's an all-encompassing word. It includes love. It includes faith. It includes courage. It includes discernment. It includes understanding the will of God. I take all those things to fit into the grace of God. Now, there's some things that can hinder us from tapping into grace and receiving the grace that God wants us to have. And I want to get those this morning. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to get a text here that I feel like is important. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, this scripture here, I believe what it's standing out to me is that God wants us to focus on our relationship with Him. He wants us to focus on the hidden life with Christ. He's not teaching against public prayer. I don't believe He's teaching against that. But He said, enter into our closet and close the door. In other words, our hidden life with Christ, the part that no one else sees, God wants that to be in place. And when that's in place, He said, I will reward thee openly. In other words, the grace of God will be there if we're keeping our hidden life, if we're seeking that hidden life with Christ, then the Lord would reward us openly. We'll have the grace of God in our hearts and our lives. So I feel like that's very vital to us in our lives, that You know, sometimes they said to the about the pecan tree that there's just as much root under the ground as what you see above the ground. We want our life to be like that, our life. Not everyone knows all of our deal. We don't want to do it just to be seen of men. But he said, when we pray to enter into your closet, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. In Pilgrim's Progress, there was a scene where there was somebody throwing a pail of water on the fire. Y'all remember that scene? And every time the water got thrown on the fire would blaze up. And he couldn't realize what was going on there. You know, water's supposed to put fire out. But there was a wall. And that represents the hidden life. And he went around and peeped behind the wall, and there was a guy that was pumping in oil into the fire. So the water wasn't putting the fire out, because the oil, which represents the grace of God, our hidden life again. And I believe when we're in transaction and we're focusing on that hidden life of Christ, that the grace of God will be manifested in our lives, that it will be there for us. But we've got to take care of the hidden part, the heart, the part that not many people see. We've got to have that in place, and God will bless and help us. And it's just, I believe it's that way today. The devil will try to throw things on our fire to put us out, to quench us, to keep us from having the grace that God wants us to have. But the Lord has something more for us, that even though the water's being dashed on us, it doesn't have to extinguish our fire. It doesn't have to put us out. And Paul mentioned that. He said the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with love and faith. The Lord can help us today to have that. Another part of the hidden life is the things that we think about, what we meditate upon. You know, not very many people see our brain waves. They don't see altogether what we're thinking about all the time. But if we're meditating, if we're communing with God through the day, and if we're looking and watching and waiting upon the Lord and the Holy Spirit to continue to work with us through the day, and we're meditating upon the Scriptures that the Lord gives to us and on good things that God has for us, you know, the grace of God, that hidden life, the grace of God will be apparent and manifest. But if we're allowing, we're giving the devil room in our minds. We're thinking on things, thoughts of revenge, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of that would be contrary to what God was wanting us to be thinking on. That will have its effect too. So our hidden life this morning is very important and vital for us. And if we will work and focus on that hidden life, I'll guarantee today that God will reward us openly. The grace of the Lord will be there upon our hearts and lives to help us. And I believe God has, He doesn't want us in our spiritual life just barely making it, barely getting by. He wants to flood us with the grace of God. He wants us to have an abundant supply. I remember Brother Herschel Hargrave, a message he gave at Monarch. I don't know if many of you remember that message, but he talked about how the Lord had a table spread for His people. And Brother Hargrave's eyes, he'd get real big, round, big. And he talked about that table, how the Lord has an invitation for us to come to the table. And he made comment, there's plenty on there. There's plenty on the table for us to get. It's not just a few pieces of cracker and a little bit of water to go with it. He's got a table spread for us. Abundant table, a rich supply. He's got grace, and he's got grapes, and he's got fruit, all those things that would nourish our life to be healthy, whole, and complete. It's at the Lord's table. And he said, come. Come to the Lord's table and receive. And we want to come and receive what God has for us. Now I want to get another verse in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. In the first verse, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So I want to notice a few things in these verses here. First of all, it's our connection to Christ through the hidden life. We can't manufacture the grace of God ourselves. We can't produce it on our own. We can't bear fruit. But if we're connected to Christ, we're going to be bearing fruit. But it also says that he purgeth it. And that word purge also signifies, it signifies cleaning or a pruning. And we know what that is. Now pruning, I'm not an expert pruner, but I know a little bit about pruning. And there's two things that I look for when I prune, and that's number one, a branch that's growing back into itself. The branches normally go out, you know, out from the tree. But on those branches, sometimes there's a branch that will start growing back into the tree. I prune those off. It's very important for the tree to really receive light down into the middle of the tree. And if it's growing into itself too much, then it's going to hinder that and it's not going to be a healthy tree. Also, if the tree limbs are getting too tight, too mangled together, you got to prune them off. You got to thin them out. So it's not too, you just let a tree grow and you have branches that go everywhere. We bought a house one time that had an apple tree and the limbs, they were growing every which way. They were growing back into the tree. They were growing twisted and it was just a mess. It was hard to know where to start pruning because there was just so much. It had been left neglected for years. You know, sometimes when we have branches start growing into ourselves too much, we've got to think about it. Now there's a difference between us and trees. I go out and I prune my trees. I can lop off whatever I want to lop off. Now I can't do that to your tree. You wouldn't want me to do that to your tree. But I can do that to the trees that are in my yard. But there's a difference between us and trees. We have a will that God respects and regards. And He won't just come in and begin to remove things out of your life without your consent. He won't just start. He says here that He purges it, He prunes it. But it's only by your permission. And what the Lord does is He allows us, He allows things to touch our life, to help us see ourselves where we're at, and to see if there's some things in there that need to be. And the Holy Spirit, I know, is faithful. He is faithful to bring to our minds things that are an overgrowth to us when our life is getting too crowded, when it's getting too busy, and it's hindering our hidden life with God. The Lord then begins to, He'll speak to us and He'll show us things that, you know, you're growing into yourself. You're too busy with this or you're too busy with that. The Lord has abundant grace, but sometimes there's things that hinder that flow of grace into our hearts and into our lives. And we have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, that branch is going to get cut back. And we have to do it. We have to give the Lord permission. I believe the Lord allows things to touch our heart and lives. He allows circumstances. He allows us sometimes to fail the grace of God to help us to see our need. But He will not just come and start cutting your tree down. We have to say, Lord, I don't want that. And we have to turn from it. And the Lord will help us. But what is the purpose for it today? It's to bear more fruit. It's that our lives can be what God is calling them to be. It's not to make our life hard or difficult, but it's for our lives can bear fruit. So our lives can be what God wants it to be. And I don't know if I love fruit as much as Brother Leslie did, but I love fruit. And I think I mentioned this last year, our peaches, the first year, the year before, they put on little bitty peaches. There was, I don't know, three or four of them, about like that. But they never got bigger than that. They were just like about the size of a peach seed, and they never got any bigger. But the year after, last year, I've got pictures of our island was just covered with peaches. They were so delicious. And I could just go out in the tree and pick off my... I didn't have to go to the store. I just went out to the tree, picked a nice peach off. You know, I know the Lord loves that. He's not interested in the literal peaches, the sweet taste that we get. But I feel like there's a similarity to our lives. I believe we can relate to that. The Lord is the same way towards us. He wants to be able to be... And that tree was just... The branches were just loaded down. I thought some of the branches were going to break. But they didn't. It was so loaded with peaches. Abundant. Just a little tree. You know, the Lord wants to be able to partake of peaches and apples, good things off of our tree. When He comes by, He wants to be able to partake of that fruit. It just blesses Him. When He's able to see someone that's abundantly in His grace, that's partaking of the grace of God abundantly, it's there. He don't have to strain His eyes to find something. It's just He can grab. The Lord wants us to have fruit. He wants us, and He mentioned here, He said, He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. When the Lord helps us to recognize things that maybe they're not sinful altogether, maybe they're lawful, but maybe they're taking up too much space, too much time. Our life is getting too crowded. You know, they talk about You ever heard the word declutter? Declutter. You know, there's something, I like that. There's something to that. We have a tendency, they're just things that can build up in our garages and things. Things can accumulate. We collect this, we collect that. Things begin to build up. And pretty soon, it's just like it's, it can be emotionally draining. But when we go through and we prune and we purge our, and I'm talking about our spiritual life, God begins to be abundant towards us. God is abundant toward us. So I want to challenge us today to think about these two things. I want us to think about our hidden life with Christ and focus on that. And I believe it becomes automatically, and then the pruning. Allow the Lord to prune, to work on us. You know, I think about pruning too. It's maybe not what the flesh desires altogether. Sometimes things have to be cut off, pruned off. And I've pruned a few of my trees this year. I know the season for pruning is going to be March before we know it, and they're going to start budding out. The Lord wants us to be, He wants us to be pruned. But it's for the purpose, He said, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what the Lord wants. And that's what I'm getting from the Apostle Paul. He said, brethren, I want you to abound more and more in love, in faith. And I know God, I know sometimes there's a, seems like we struggle in times, but I know, I believe this is true. I believe that there's a place of exceeding abundant grace that comes from heaven when we have our hidden life, our meditations, our heart, our spirit in tune with God. There's fruit that's automatic. And you know, when a tree has, it's not diseased and it has good nutrients and it's getting moisture, it just seems like it's an automatic, an automatic thing. And I believe it is with us also. If we're holding that hidden life with Christ, I believe there's going to be things there that will make it abundant towards us. I want to get one more scripture that I went across, but it's Romans, the 5th chapter. And the 20th verse, he said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, this is an important scripture to me. I hope it is to all of us. Because we look out in the world and we can see the spiritual barometer doesn't look very good in our world and our society. But this is saying where sin abounds. And it's abounding. Sin's abounding on every hand in our society. He said, grace did much more abound. So it doesn't have to affect us. If we're connected to Christ and if we're seeking for the hidden life, even though the trees are drying up around us. Now, in one place he talked about, he said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But it doesn't have to be that way. It will affect people, but there is grace for you and I in 2020. You know, I used to read about the old revivals. You know, the revivals in 1800s and the revivals where there was you know, thousands of people coming to the Lord and people were getting saved every day. And I used to long, wish they could. Oh, that'd been so nice. But I didn't live in the 1800s. But in 2020, today, in our environment, we can abound in the grace of God. We can be what God wants us to be. We can have exceeding abundant grace when the temperature of our world and the atmosphere of our world is going the wrong direction and it's down. He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's encouraging me to this morning. That's very encouraging. Because I know that regardless of what happens in our world today, there will be grace for us. If we have that hidden life with Christ, there will be grace, abundant grace, for us to go through and be victorious in our lives. It's not something that we manufacture. It's not something just because I have a strong will and all those types of things. It's the grace of God living in us, flowing down through our lives. You remember the scripture he talked about, the revelations that he saw under the throne? That water of life that came down, originated from the throne of God, that's referring to the Holy Spirit flowing from the throne, the presence of God, into our hearts and into our lives. And it can be abundant towards us. Now, I'll ask you again, do you believe this morning? Exceeding abundant grace. Do you believe the Lord has that for us, for me, in my life, in my walk, an exceeding abundant grace that will enable me, that will help me to be victorious? Not just barely get by, but that will bring real victory in our lives. Appreciate your attention this morning.